Welcome to the intersection of faith and culture. It's the Wall Builder Show, and we're taking on hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. And just the other night, I was on a webinar with David Barton, and he was talking about history. If you know history, you know what works, what doesn't work, and you'll be able to make better decisions. Well, we need to make better decisions with our voting machines and how we do our elections these days. Rick Green here with Tim Barton. Do you think we've learned anything about elections and which systems work best?
Well, I think it depends on what you mean by we. I think some of us have probably learned. We definitely have some thoughts about it. Just last week, we were up in Washington, D.C. We were doing our annual spring pastors briefing, and we have pastors from all around the nation come up to D.C., and Tuesday night, we give them a spiritual heritage tour of the U.S. Capitol. We have a congressional sponsor, and we're able to take them at night into rooms that normally they're not able to get into, that there's not a lot of traffic going on. So really fun opportunities. But one of the things that happens the next day, we have congressmen come and they'll just talk to the pastors about what's going on, what their issues are, maybe sometimes what led them to maybe run for Congress in the first place, what they feel God has them doing while they're there. And one of the congressmen that came and talked to the pastors, one of our good friends, friend of the show, is Congressman Barry Loudermilk from Georgia. And one of the things that he's been doing, he's the chair of the committee, January 6th committee, going back and reviewing a lot of what happened. But one of the things that he said to the pastors that I thought was so well-spoken, he said, you know, looking back at the election, the 2020 election, you know, we can't really say it was stolen. Do I think it's stolen? You know, I don't know. But what I can say for sure is it was rigged. Because if you look at what Mark Zuckerberg did, right? If you look at Twitter or Google, whoever suppressing the Hunter Biden story, you look at some of these people that were involved in essentially electioneering because they're taking part in shifting the outcome of the election. Certainly, it was a rigged election in that sense. And I would say some lessons have been learned because there are states that have been taking some actions. There are states that have been taking action trying to secure ballot, secure voter integrity. But you then have other states that maybe they didn't learn the lessons, or maybe they learned the lessons they wanted to learn, that maybe having these mail-in ballots with drop boxes that are not secured all over the city allowed them to achieve some of the outcome they wanted. You know, maybe they learned that lesson. I don't know. But you've seen some liberal states that have definitely gone the wrong direction when it comes to securing elections or mail-in ballots. We've talked about it before that mail-in ballots, although certainly there's a valid reason in some situations for a mail-in ballot, there was so much abuse in the midst of COVID of the mail-in ballot system, where people were taking advantage of it, where there wasn't security, there wasn't oversight. We weren't checking necessarily signatures and addresses and, you know, whatever else needs to be checked. Also, we've seen from other nations that mail-in ballots is a place where it is the easiest for fraud to occur. It's the reason that many nations have moved away from some of these mail-in ballots because they know that gives dishonest people a chance to be dishonest. And so, you know, all that to say, I'm not sure what all lessons have been learned. I know states are taking action, but I think we're also still learning and discovering a lot of things along the way that probably there's going to be some state legislators, probably some that we're friends with, some that we work with, that they're going to continue to learn new things that will cause them to take even more actions. So I don't think we're as secure as we need to be, but I do know that some states have taken steps in the right direction.
Tim, how did you say that? You said basically it makes it possible for dishonest people to do dishonest. How did you say it? Because it was well said, and I want to borrow it. Do you remember how you said it?
You know, the good thing about this show is you can get the podcasts in later in the day.
Oh, great.
You can go back and
I'm
listen to it.
I'm going to pull up my podcast link right now.
It was I know the essence because it's not the first time I've talked about it, but the exact words, I'm not totally sure. I'll take another attempt. You can tell me if I get close to it. But the reality is that when what other nations have discovered is that mail-in ballots allow the opportunity for fraudulent actions to occur, where dishonest people can do dishonest things, because mail-in ballots by reality are not as secure as other means and mechanisms of voting. And that's why a lot of states have moved away from that. So that's one of the things we know. And again, I think there's still lessons to be learned. We have friends that are very involved. In fact, one of our good friends coming on momentarily is in the middle of a lot of stuff happening right now, looking at elections and ballot security and what can be done. And so I'm actually kind of excited to hear what our friend John Graves will tell us about this whole process going on right now.
Quick break. And I got it that time. It was an opportunity for dishonest people to do dishonest things. Doesn't mean it's definitely happening, but we're giving the opportunity if we're not securing the elections. John Graves is going to talk to us about it when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Wall Builder Show.
Hey guys, it's Tim Barton, and I want to tell you about our new book, The American Story, Building the Republic. We start with George Washington as president, and we've already become a nation, so really now it's how do we function as a nation? And if we look back in American history, the stability, the prosperity, success we enjoyed as Americans is because of the foundation that our early presidents laid, because of the examples they set. How do we live in America under the Constitution? What is the role of federal government? And really, what part did each one of these early presidents play? We go through the first seven presidents, and a lot of people probably know the names Washington, Adams, Jefferson, and Madison. Very few people know about Monroe or John Quincy Adams or Andrew Jackson. Now, we might know some of their names. We really don't know their stories. We want you to relearn, rediscover American history, and see how it applies to today. Go to wallbuilders.com and get your copy of The American Story, Building the Republic.
Welcome back to Wallbuilders. Thanks for staying with us. John Graves from Million Voices back with us. John, great to see you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on, Rick.
Hey, you know, I'm kind of a tech dummy. Can I say it that way? I'm just plain stupid when it comes to this stuff. I do not understand. Maybe part of the reason, I mean, you know, I'm pro, like, you know, paper ballot because of my recount from, you know, 25 years ago. But I'm also pro paper ballot because I don't understand all these machines and they're complicated. Yeah. And I just don't trust that they won't be used to cheat. And of course, a lot of people, you have all the stuff from 2020, everybody has been talking about. You understand this stuff well. You're a tech guy and smart, and you understand what's going on behind the scene. Apparently, something has happened in the last few weeks and months to uncover at least the possibility that some of the things that were claimed could have happened. Not that they did happen, but that they could have happened, that it was possible to hack into these things and all that. So catch me up on the tangible, what's real about what we found inside the tech of these voting machines.
Yeah, so what happened, Rick, was, you know, a couple months ago, or it's been working for a long time, but there was a filing in the Supreme Court of the United States for a writ, and it was in the Kerry Lake case that happened in Arizona against the state of Arizona over the, you know, election software, and three different cybersecurity experts that were very, very qualified, all said that there were not just Dominion machines in Maricopa, but they inspected those same Dominion machines in multiple states, and every one of them had the encryption keys in plain text, and that these machines were not secure. With that, it opened up the possibility that someone could access those keys that allowed them to change votes, add votes, or do anything else, and then cover their tracks so that no one.
Okay, wait. Let me talk tech dummy here. So what I just heard you say is that if the encryption key was in the plain text, would that be like me leaving the keys to my house out on the porch somewhere, or in the driveway?
It would be like you locking your car and leaving the window rolled down with the keys on the seat. That would be a good.
That's even worse. At least I was thinking with the porch, I hid it in the plants or something, you know.
Yeah. Or another analogy would be if you went in a bank vault, you know, the keys to the vault were on the desk at the lobby. So all you had to do is any employee could get them, and anybody who could get in the front door can get the keys to the vault, take anything they wanted. But even better, you could cover it up and replace it with counterfeit gold or counterfeit cash by covering your tracks. And with these keys, you could also shut off the alarm and wipe the cameras, the security cameras, as if you never showed up in the lobby or the vault.
So you could get in and get out cover your tracks completely. You know, John, we've heard people say this could have or did happen in 2020, but that wasn't the first time we heard this kind of stuff. The Democrats were concerned about this very thing just 4 years before that, right?
Yes, Hesney did a thing. Professor Halderman did a thing. Actually, it was a month or so ago. He's more liberal-leaning, but he hacked one of the Dominion machines with a pen in open court in Georgia, just literally within the last month. And so they've been complaining about this, and I I've been more
now.
Of a
I don't
skeptic.
Know those names. Are those, so? Those are Democrats. Those are not even conservatives. Yeah, you're talking about. Yeah.
They wouldn't say they're Democrats, but they're
or they're not representing, political.
They're representing Democrats pre 2020, saying, "Hey, these machines aren't safe." This was
so
their
this is
story
not just a
until
Trump,
they won.
Yeah,
no,
this is not,
it's
just
not
a Trump thing. This is Democrats right. were concerned about this. Republicans were concerned about anybody that wants to know that you got it right.
That's right.
Should be concerned yeah. about this. Yeah.
Yeah. The way I look at it is we live in a country in 2016. Hillary loses. She's complaining that there's somebody getting in the software. Trump loses. He's complaining. We need to live in a country where whoever loses says, hey, I lost and I'm disappointed I lost, but I lost a fair and secure election where everyone's vote was auditable, traceable, knowable, and the people made their choice, and that's what we're going to live by. That's what we need to live by. So that's Amen. My passion, Rick. And so when I saw this, you know, I had a couple concerns. One was no one's going to believe it because everybody, there's been some people crying wolf and everybody's kind of moved on. But my other concern is a demoralizing effect of, see there, they cheat and get away with it. Why should I bother to vote? And that was a huge, huge problem when I did an autopsy of the 2022 election because there was this predicted red wave that never came. That was why 20 million people who had voted for Trump and against Biden in 2020 didn't come back. So when I started looking at this, I thought my concern is we need people to understand there is a solution here. This is the problem. This is a very serious problem if these allegations are true. And there's a very, very practical solution. And the solution is that they can contact their county official. They don't need to contact the president. The federal government's not going to help here. And they got, you know, a lot of problems they're having right now that are being exposed. But your county officials are the ones that control these things in most states. In some states, it's the Secretary of State or Attorney General. But that's what we began to do is we built a tool that was specifically designed for this, where we could educate them on these software issues and let people use their voice to try to make a difference. And so they sign up at millionvoices.org. And then we connect them to who the official is and give them the name, the address, the email, the phone number, and then kind of walk them through the tools of how best to do this. And to go back to your paper ballots, we're not just asking them, don't make an allegation, don't accuse anybody of anything. This is not about 2020 or 2016. This is about 2024. We need to secure 2024. And the only way to do that is for the people to put the pressure on their local county officials and say, hey, please go do a bipartisan inspection of the system, the election system in our county. We're not talking about all the other counties, just our county. I'm a voter in our county. I care about our county. Go do this. Here's a video that shows how to open it up and look at the tables and see if it's in there. And if those are in there, tell me what steps you're going to take to secure it and make sure to keep a clear chain of custody of everything digital and a clear chain of custody of everything in paper and keep those original paper ballots until we have a bipartisan inspection after this next election. Does that make sense? So,
yeah, man, absolutely. Here's my take home that I got from that. Number one, that it is a problem. This is a real problem. No matter what you heard cry wolf before, regardless Democrat, Republican, or whatever, it's still a major issue. Number two, we're not even trying to rehash 2020. We're only talking about going forward 2024. And number three, there's a solution. This is not one of those give up, you know, this because it's a problem, stay home. This is not at all what we're saying. We're saying there's a solution, and it's called be the boss. Those commissioners work for you, not in a That's in a right. rude way, kind of boss way. This is a respectful call or an outreach in an email that you get to make, and Million Voices will basically coach you through that. They'll give you the link to your county commissioner, your county judge, your county leaders that you can send this to. And John, I'm guessing it's a mixed bag all over the country. There's no way for us to cover all the scenarios, and our listeners are all over the country. And that's why if they go to Million Voices, they'll be able to figure out, okay, do they have Dominion in my county? Do they have one of these other systems? Do they do paper? You know, what's going on in my county? And that way they'll have an educated communication with their commissioner. You guys will kind of walk them through that. And like you said, even have videos and stuff that they can send to that commissioner and say, hey, all we're asking you to do is, I love how you said that, by the way, is a bipartisan audit or bipartisan
inspection.
Bipartisan inspection. Just double check before we get to November, and there's plenty of time.
That's right. And they can do that very simply. A county commissioner, because there's, let's say these allegations are true with Dominion. Dominion, out of 3,140 something counties, is in at least 722 that we could find. And so that's 50 million voters. And so if that's one of you in those counties, then you can go straight to the system. But even if it's not that particular software, all of them need to have an inspection and have clear chain of custody. And you know what? If this is a database issue, let's open up transparency and let's put some cameras on those machines so we know everybody who accessed it. And the same thing with the tabulator cards and the paper. And by the way, let's just keep it and let's make this inspection bipartisan. This is not about Republicans and Democrats.
Exactly.
It's way bigger
than
that.
And John, I'll tell you what I really love about this is that a lot of our listeners, well, most of our listeners are concerned about election integrity. They want to know that we're doing things to improve the system. But like me, I would have no idea specifically what to ask of my commissioner if I called them or wrote them other than, hey, let's go back to old school paper ballots like I had in my recount. And we were able to look, you know, because my opponent and I, we did exactly what you said a while ago. At the end of the day, we didn't have to say you cheated or somebody gamed the system because we put our hands on every single ballot. And so he said to me, I don't like the fact that you won, but you won. We don't need to do this again because we recounted every single ballot. So that would be my only. But you just gave me a better answer. You're basically saying, hey, you're going to be able to make more of an educated call, if you will, and say, here's all we're asking for. I don't have to understand what the system is in my local county. I don't have to know what they've done or haven't done. I'm just simply doing a little nudge as the boss saying, hey, make sure that you guys are doing your, you know, doing this correctly. And of course, Million Voices, you always word that stuff where it's polite and respectful and all that.
Yes. Yeah. And we also, one of the things I tell people is it's and also we can walk and chew gum. And the passion for me is Luke 18, where Jesus said, I'm going to tell you a story, a parable, to teach you to pray and to never give up. And he teaches a parable of a widow who has an unjust judge who doesn't fear God, doesn't respect man, and won't give her justice. And Jesus trains us that just like a widow who was the least politically powerful person in that culture when he told that story, her job is to not stop speaking. But she didn't just pray like part of the church, and she didn't only speak like an activist like part of the church. She prayed, and she refused to stop speaking. And who did she speak to? The person who had the authority legally to handle her issue. And that's what we've got to do. But we also have to keep voting because we might vote that judge out. We might vote those county people out because we can both fight for election integrity and vote. And here's the thing I tell people. Hey, we're going to beat the margin of cheat if you believe there's a margin of cheat. I tell my girls, they play basketball, don't put the game in the referee's hands. Make your free throws. Don't turn the ball over. Play good defense. Don't come down to a bad referee call or these margins where, you know, something can go wrong here. So we want people to vote. We want them to bring 10 friends to vote this year, even their friends who have kind of gotten demoralized because of 2020. And we want you to continue, not just vote and assume it's secure, keep fighting for it to be better and better and better. Because the truth is, we're making incremental gains. The 28 states have now outlawed Zuckbucks, the private funding of elections. Okay, that's progress, but there's a lot more progress that needs to be made. That's my argument, is we can do both.
There is, and that's the other great thing about signing up today. MillionVoices.org is the place to do it, folks. MillionVoices.org is that this is not a one-and-done kind of thing. There's ongoing battles here. We had a victory at the Supreme Court this week that basically denied a petition where they were trying to expand mail-in balloting in Texas. So that was a small victory, but it was a victory, and we need that all across the country in all 50 states, and that's going to take time. And so, folks, this is the immediate need. The immediate need is to make sure your local, as you said, John, the person with authority, if the biblical analogy, the judge in that case, well, folks, in some cases, it's going to be your county judge that has
that's
the authority
right.
here. In some cases, it's county commissioner or whatever. It's different in different states. But we have to be that praying and requesting widow. We have to be the ones that are doing that.
That's right.
So, John, you're giving us the tools to do it. I'm so glad I don't have to know how these machines work, but I can still make the call to my local commissioner. MillionVoices.org.
Right.
Now, John, when they get there and they go to your homepage, do they just go ahead and sign up right there? You're going to have a place?
They'll be right on the homepage at the top. We'll have a sign up, and then they'll just say, here's my information, sign up. That information allows us to match you. And then we ask people to click, what do you care about? Because here's the thing, the first one will be election integrity, but people care about the border and life and Second Amendment and other things. So they tell us what's important, and we use that information to match them. So the first thing will be election integrity, and that's usually county commissioner. Sometimes it's your state rep. Sometimes it's your elections registrar. There's lots of states have different rules, but we've done the best we can to match that. And then we continue to match you to your state rep, your state senator. So, for example, there's two huge bills that were passed, one to keep paper ballots as open records request, and one to watermark ballots in Georgia. The legislature passed
it. So one, just, hey, don't burn them. Don't destroy them. We want to be able to get to those. So we
can't put a watermark on them so they're secure. But the governor, who's not been so friendly to election integrity, Governor Kemp in Georgia, has until July 1st, and he's saying he's going to veto those. Well, enough people in Georgia could rise up, and that may be the person that we put them in contact with and say, please don't take away our security of our elections. Please don't destroy these.
So you're keeping you're keeping a tab kind of on all these different battles across the country. So once they're once they sign up, you'll connect them. If they say election integrity is their main issue, you're going to connect them to whatever's happening in their particular state. Gotcha.
Exactly. So I can give you tons of examples. Wisconsin, the legislature passed outlawing Zuckbucks. The governor vetoed it. The people put it back on the ballot, and last week the people voted over the governor and put and outlawed Zuckbucks. So that hasn't happened yet. Same thing happened in North Carolina, but it hasn't happened in Michigan, Pennsylvania. So that's a good fight for if you tell us
and
you care
are
about
critical.
Election integrity.
Those are critical states for us. Yeah,
if you tell us what you care about, we match you to what to do. And now that continues to change as the challenges change.
Gotcha.
And they can also text, since this is a radio audience. They can text to 80550, the letters MV. Because if you
okay,
if
say
you
that again. 80550.
80550. Text the letters MV, like Million Voices, and we'll send you the link to sign up there.
Okay.
And so I know it's easier to text five digits when you're
driving. No, no, no. We wouldn't recommend that.
No, not driving.
We're not driving. The person in the passenger seat is going to text 285.
Or you pull over and stop.
Yeah. Okay, one more time on the number. One more time on the website.
80550, text the letters MV, or millionvoices.org.
Millionvoices.org. John Graves, thanks for being with us, man.
God bless. Thanks for having me.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barton.
Hi, friends. This is Tim Barton of Wall Builders. This is a time when most Americans don't know much about American history or even Hebrews of the faith. And I know oftentimes for parents, we're trying to find good content for our kids to read. And if you remember back to the Bible, to the book of Hebrews, it has the Faith Hall of Fame where they outline the leaders of faith that had gone before them. Well, this is something that as Americans, we really want to go back and outline some of these heroes, not just of American history, but heroes of Christianity and our faith as well. I want to let you know about some biographical sketches we have available on our website. One is called the Courageous Leaders Collection. And this collection includes people like Abigail Adams, Abraham Lincoln, Francis Scott Key, George Washington Carver, Susanna Wesley, even the Wright brothers. And there's a second collection called Heroes of History. In this collection, you'll read about people like Benjamin Franklin or Christopher Columbus, Daniel Boone, George Washington, Harriet Tubman. Friends, the list goes on and on. This is a great collection for your young person to have and read, and it's a providential view of American and Christian history. This is available at wallbuilders.com. That's www.wallbuilders.com.
We're back here on Wall Builders. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks to John Graves for joining us. Back with Tim. Tim, I'm just thinking, thank the good Lord for guys like John Graves that go read all those manuals and learn all that tech stuff so I don't have to.
No doubt. And you know, it's I want to address during the break, we were able to talk to John, and he was telling us he's going to be, he thinks on the Glenn Beck program tomorrow, and he's going to go through this. He thinks on an hour and a half special. And one of the things that, you know, obviously on radio, we can't show, he has videos of some of what the fraudulent activity that can happen on these Dominion machines, where it's possible for someone to, from the outside, access and hack it, what they can do. And you know, kind of like we talked about even before we got to John's interview, some of this, it doesn't mean necessarily that the election was stolen. I mean, it maybe gives more credence to some people that feel that way, that think that way. But until we have more evidence and proof, again, it's hard to say with what at Wall Builders, we want to care about what is the documentable facts that we can point to, right? What is the evidence? What is the source? And all we have seen right now was there was an incredible opportunity for dishonest people to do dishonest things in these Dominion voting machines. It really does raise the question, right, too, of how is Dominion going to answer when some of this information comes out and people realize, hey, aren't you supposed, like you said, you're the most secure ever. How was this even happening? it really does raise some of those questions. But I'm excited to go even further with this. We've known John for a long time. We've known that he was involved in this. And even in some of our private conversations, he hasn't been able to give us all of the details because he's been involved in a legal process where some of that was privileged information. But he's coming to the place where he can talk more openly about a lot of it. And tomorrow, being on the Glenn Beck program on The Blaze, as he's going to do an hour and a half special, I'm very excited to see some of these videos that he's told us about, but be able to see those firsthand, and maybe we can even have him back on. We can get him on our social media. We can share some of these videos that people see too. And I so appreciate his perspective that he's not in the camp saying, hey, right, let's go back and relitigate the 2020 election, because that's not a practical solution for us right now. But what we can do is say, okay, let's text this number, right? Let's go to a million voices online. Let's see what we can do to get involved. So I would say for everybody listening right now, right? Text that number, not while you're driving, as Rick, good job pointing that out, right? Not while you're driving, but text that number. And especially the issues that we care about, the issues we're concerned with, let's get involved and see what we can do to help bring back some honesty, integrity, transparency to the system. We know ultimately solutions are going to come when the American people rise up. And this is an opportunity for us to let our voices be heard, where we're not just frustrated, we're not just complaining, we can actually do something. So encourage people, text that number and go to Million Voices and be part of the solution.
Millionvoices.org is the website. Thanks so much for listening today. You've been listening to The Wallbuilder Show.